Summit Internet. Business internet from just $99 a month. Now available in Geelong and right across Melbourne. Visit Robot's click and collect service. Order online. Pick up at your nearest store.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Always great to have you company. We'll head back to your calls very shortly on 1300 736 736. That open line thanks to Werribee Kia. And I'll head back to your texts as well on the Temper text machine. Temper, T-E-M-P-U-R, a mattress like no other. Just one quick one on the Temper text machine. One correcting the previous caller about Brad Crouch. He did win the best and fairest last year for the Adelaide Crows. Brian Cook, the CEO of the Geelong Footy Club, has been good enough to join us for a few minutes. So let's head straight to Cookie and say congratulations, Cookie. Another grand final in one of the toughest years, probably the toughest year you've ever been at the helm. So welcome to the program and congratulations so far.
No, thanks, Dwayne. It's been a long year, a remote year, both playing and living, and it's certainly been unique. So thanks for your congratulations.
And I say that sincerely because it is an epic performance by the footy club, and I noticed that in the Geelong Advertiser article, I'm not sure whether that was taken by the Herald Sun online as well, but you mentioned that you sounded a bit bittersweet in that article. You said your role this year is not finished until the 26 people you had to speak to at the start of the year who were part of your employment group find work.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a staff of around about 125, and with the cuts that were required in order to reach our expenditure and revenue level, so to speak, we had to make about 25 people redundant, and another 50 of those had on top of that had sizable salary reductions, and another 50 or so we kept the same, the low income earners. Anyway, that's what happened, and we went early with the redundancies because people wanted transparency and wanted to have an opportunity to get other jobs if we weren't going to keep them on. And we don't believe that our role was finished in this particular area until they all find jobs, those 25 or 26 that were made redundant. And our people and culture team, led by Tracy Gilligan, has done a marvellous job in doing that. We've hired two transitional coaches to try and place people, as well as onboard three psychologists to help out with people who just need to have a talk about their future. So that's what we've done in that area. And it's one area out of many, many areas that we've had to manage this year to be successful.
And you also went on to say in that article you had a three-stage plan, which was retain revenue, but also increase your connection with your staff and maintain the mental health of your staff. That was a priority. I know you're the chair of Bowen Health as well, which is, you know, Geelong Region Healthcare Organisation. So you're pretty strong on that. That's been a major focus for you as well, even though there's been this get the footy club right and win a premiership focus.
Oh, absolutely. It's not all about money. It's not all about premierships. It's about people and their futures, and making sure that they can live a comfortable and reasonable life with their families, and a happy life, of course. So, we at the outset, 5 or 6 months ago of the virus, the pandemic, we got our group together, being our executive team and our board, and we basically said, well, you know, what are we trying to achieve here? We ended up putting all of those possibilities into three clusters or three pillars. Around retaining revenue, increasing our connection with our stakeholders, both internal and external, and the third area being maintaining the physical and mental health of our people, particularly our players. So they were the three things, and off that we had, you know, several strategies with each, and we've implemented those, and I think we've been relatively successful. It's probably a easy word to use, but we've been effective. In this really unknown time, in this crisis time, we've been reasonably effective in getting to the stage we have now.
So has your care of the players' mental health been one of the reasons why you think they might be able to get through this period with some success?
Oh, look, Dwayne, it's a bundle of things. There's no one thing that's going to determine the success, but it helps, you know. As does the fact that we made meals for families, as does the fact that we ensured that the psychologists were available for, not only the players but the wives and the families, and so on and so forth. So there's a whole bundle of things that when you put them together mean that you come out in a positive way down the track. Now, I've got no idea, to be honest, in terms of, you know, putting weightings on those. But certainly the mental health issue is a big issue. It's becoming more and more relevant by the day. And, you know, one in four people in Australia suffer some sort of mental health problem at some stage in their lives. And football players and football families are no different. In fact, you know, you could argue that going through this period of the pandemic, it becomes more relevant for those people, given the stresses they're under about the future of their careers, about, you know, how they're going to look after their kids when they're, you know, 2,000 kilometres away on the Gold Coast, all of those type of issues. So I think we've bundled up a lot of good things.
And you also mentioned that the financial situation might not be as bad as you were worried it might be.
Thanks to everyone out there. It's just been amazing. And it's not just Geelong. It's all of the AFL clubs and the AFL itself, and the support that in particular members, sponsors, donors have provided to AFL clubs, including ourselves, has been phenomenal. Now, we make normally about $1 million profit per game, and we have 11 home games. So with no crowds this year, it was obvious to us that we were going to lose around $11 million. And that was our original forecast with the virus when it came out, when it started. We have just kept plugging away. We've had a fantastic commercial team plugging away. And I think the increased connection with our stakeholders has helped here. And it has over the last 20 years. Okay, I think the results we're seeing now is because of 20 years of hard work with connecting with stakeholders, particularly our members and so forth. And anyway, long story short, that $10 million has come down gradually to a stage where we're heading towards break-even. We don't think we'll get there, but it will be somewhere between break-even and $1 million loss, which is a lot better than the $10 million or $11 million we first thought of. And it's been outstanding. And I just cannot thank my members and our sponsors and our donors more anymore. They've been brilliant.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. If you could get to break-even, and I'm sure winning a premiership might be a little bit of injection in that area as well. Chris Scott, we talked about it earlier this season when he elected to take no money whilst there was time off, and that long-term stability as a club. You just mentioned your connection with your long-term stakeholders, but I know your long-term stability has been iconic. You've been there since Frank Costa gave you the call and you joined Frank in 1999. So I presume stability of the footy club has been important, and now you've got this coach who is your long-term option, even though there's been some rocky road. It seems to me like the kind of coach that you'd keep for another 10 years if you could keep you in the finals.
Yes, well, that would be nice. Would be interesting too. Scotty's done extremely well. He's got the best win-loss record of any coach in the AFL. Unfortunately, we haven't won as many finals as we would have liked, but I don't hold that against Chris in any way whatsoever. I think that his record is unblemished, to be honest. And he, with his assistant coaches, that's the other seven coaches, they form what I think are a great team. They're very independent, very challenging of Scotty. At the same time, they're very tight and cohesive and collaborative. And there's a lot of trust between Chris and his assistant coaches. And again, I think that's a really good sign of Chris not only being a good coach, but also a very good leader. It's something we appreciate immensely at our footy club. It fits into the Geelong way and our culture extremely well.
And you can see him being there long, long term. How long has he signed up for at the moment?
Well, he's got a contract till the end of 2022, so he's got 2 years to go.
Yep.
And I think I'll just leave it at that because I've got 1 year to go, and I don't think it's appropriate that if I'm leaving next year, I start making comments about Chris's extension. So I'll leave that to the next CEO on the board, mate.
And I mentioned Frank Costa. It was a great team. You came to the club when the club financially was on its knees. You and Frank together, I think with some help from the Bendigo Bank, you put a plan together and got some help in that regard from a long-term backer of the club as well. You were able to get the Bendigo Bank on board. Frank won't be there on the weekend. Have you spoken to Frank this week?
I have. I've spoken to Frank and Shirley a couple of times. and he's chuffed. He is so happy about what's happened. And I didn't know, but three of our players, Danger, Selwood, and Tommy Hawkins, actually had a group call to Frank straight after the game on Saturday night. And that's a bit of a demonstration of the calibre of our people as well. And Frank was just so happy to receive that call. You know, he's been going through some illness recently, and he mentioned that on the television last night. You know, we've been reaching out to Frank over the last couple of months, and he's been responding extremely well. It's amazing what football can do to people and their well-being. And Frank was just up and about, and he had the big smile on his face, and even though he's gone through several treatments, he managed to be interviewed by several people in the media yesterday, which I had a bit of a laugh about. You know, he's larger than life. We love him.
He lives and breathes it and bleeds it. That's the beauty of Frank. Mm. He loves it so much. Tom Hawkins, a negative test we hear, which is great news.
Yeah, no, he's got a cold. and I think I'm not a doctor, and I shouldn't be making any sort of comment really, but he's just got a cold, and you know, he's amongst lots and lots of kids over at the Pines, I think there's been a cold that's been spread by a couple of the people there, and he unfortunately has got it, but he'll be fine. We're expecting him to train tonight. This is our large major session tonight at 5:30 here. We had an open session yesterday, and Tom wasn't at that one. He was isolated until he gets a bit better. But he'll be fine. There is no issue with Tom.
How big a role do you play in recruiting, Brian? If Wellesley wants wants Jeremy Cameron, weigh in with?
I'm on the list management committee, but to be honest, I don't play a material role in selecting players that we wish to go for. That's up to Stephen Wells and his recruiting team. And then Stephen would share his recommendations, if that's the right word, with Simon Lloyd, the general manager of footy, with Chris Scott and myself. And we then develop strategies, and Wells implements them with his team. That's really how it works. And so your question about my input, I think I have minimal input. I have a real interest, but I don't have a huge impact, I don't think, or huge interest. It's left up to other people, as it should. Wells is an expert at this. He's great at it, and we should give him the freedom for him to manage the players as he sees it. So that's what we try and do.
But you still have to rubber stamp how many years or what the final number is?
Yes, we do. We have a relatively strong governance process within. We have to stay within TPP, of course. But our list management strategy is endorsed by the board. That happens once a year, and Wellesley comes in and talks to the board. And if there are extreme or different contracts, and by that I mean, you know, contracts for players over 30 years of age, contracts which are more than 3 years, contracts which amount to more than, say, $2 million, then they have to be endorsed by our remuneration committee. So that's how our governance works in terms of player contracts. But by and large, it's left in the hands of Stephen Wells and his team to develop strategy, and then we stay within TPP, our finance people get involved with that, and the whole plan is endorsed by the board.
And you've been pretty bullish on Jeremy Cameron. You must be excited by the fact that he's nominated you, and I presume he'll be one of those that gets more than 3 years.
Well, he will nominate on October 30, Dwayne, and in the meantime, we're going to focus on the grand final.
Fair call. Cookie, I've got to ask you about the CEO's meeting, if you don't mind. What did you take away from it? There's been different CEOs talk about different things that they took from it. I spoke to Koshy a couple of days ago. He was sort of a bit perplexed as to why there was a bit of doom and gloom in it. He thought that the competition, given what's happened this year, was in reasonably good shape, and he likes the 18 teams and doesn't want to change, but that's the Port Adelaide point of view. What did you take from the CEO's meeting?
I'm still thinking about that meeting. Without having any real conclusions. So I'm probably sitting on the fence a bit, Dwayne.
Yeah.
What did I get from it? It's certainly obvious that there are some clubs who would like to see a review of the industry, particularly at AFL level and AFL commission level. What does that mean? I'm not so sure. I'm not even sure if they know exactly what exactly and specifically what they would like to see reviewed. And there's no doubt that there hasn't been for want of a better term, a review of the AFL for the AFL Commission for some time, like 20 odd years or so. And maybe there is there's a desirable outcome here where you can get all the presidents together with commission over a weekend and just, maybe address the questions around where do we want the AFL to be in 10 years' time? Where is it now? What are the issues? Let's work out how we can address those issues. Maybe there's a need to do that in a very collaborative sense. But I'm not so sure. Okay, I just don't know. But that would be... My suggestion would be to have an all-in workshop and go away for a weekend and try and be open and inclusive and try and develop some strategies there between the commission and the clubs.
So you definitely think there needs to be an assessment. You need to get together and kind of work out what the direction is. And
yeah, I don't know, but if someone said to me, given there's got to be a bit of a review, how would you do it? I would do it in a very inclusive way. I wouldn't necessarily bring in an expert to review the whole thing. I would have the commissioner and the presidents review it themselves.
And you're an 18-team man? 18 teams in the comp,
yep.
Man?
Absolutely. We need to be a national comp all over Australia.
And what are your thoughts on Gill this morning? You floated the idea of maybe having a floating fixture or not locking in the whole fixture at the start of every year. What are your thoughts on what's happened this year?
Yeah. Look, I think this year will probably determine a few changes in future years. I don't mind the floating fixture as long as you can be guaranteed home games, right? Because sides like us, clubs like us, rely on home games particularly in Geelong, and I would hate to think that we could get floating fixtures where at the end of the day clubs have different numbers of home games. It would be very inequitable.
And you want all your home games, obviously, at Jim HBA Stadium still, as opposed to Docklands or the G?
Yeah, no, that's correct. There's going to be an argument to play some of the big games at the MCG. I haven't got a real issue with that. But we start with the position that we should have 11 games. We should have the right to have 11 games, like any other team has the right to play their games at home. And if we agree with the AFL, we might consider to play one or two of those games at the MCG because of the expected size of the crowd.
A couple of quick ones, Brian, because I mean, you're an ex-player, so I know you love the player's point of view as well. Joel Selwood, he might become the Cats' first ever four-time premiership player. He's already the greatest captain the club's ever had by games captained. Six-time All-Australian. Does he get the credit he's due, do you think?
He probably doesn't, but I don't think it worries him at all. You know, he's a sort of a self-directed, internally motivated guy. He doesn't look for external motivation or pats on the back. He just loves the game. He plays with passion. He plays it hard. He lives life the same way. So I don't think I think what he would really love is to be the captain of the premiership side, which he hasn't been yet. He's played so many games. He's won three premierships, but he would love to be captain of the premiership team. And this is one of the stories of many stories within our player group that I think are really just mouthwatering. I think that Joel is such a wonderful person. A wonderful captain. I just love him to lead us into a premiership on the weekend.
And Patrick Dangerfield is the face of the organisation in a way, and a voice of the organisation, whilst also being the voice and face of the AFL Players Association. He seems to have handled it pretty damn well this year.
Oh, absolutely. He fits a lot into the day. I can assure you of that. And he's a wonderful leader to have around the place. It's interesting because I don't think he brings his AFL PA concerns with him to the football club. I think once he enters the door of a club, that it's all Geelong. It's all training hard, winning games, and it's very seldom I talk to him about football politics or the AFLPA. There's no need, but every now and again we do because we have to. But he's able to manage that in a really, really interesting and I think effective way. And the other thing about Paddy, he's never played in a grand final in his life, whether it under sevens, juniors, seniors, whatever. He's never played in a grand final, and this is historical for him. It's once in a lifetime for him.
Great to have a chat to you, Brian. I'm hoping we can have a chat to you Monday. You've done an amazing job with the footy club from the day you walked in there, and it's going to be sad the day you walk out in a year's time. Brian, we love your work. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Dwayne. Thanks, everyone. Cheers.
Brian Cook, Geelong CEO. We'll take a break. A few of your texts. 0433 98 11 16 and a few of your calls. 1300 736 736. You're with Dwayne's World.